You're listening to the Live Free Now podcast, bringing you the news, views, tips, and tools you can use to live a free, prosperous, and healthy life. Find us online at livefreenow.show. And now your host, John Bush. Hey friends, John Bush here with the Live Free Now show, livefreenow.show. And today I want to talk to you about freedom versus safety in the COVID-19 era. And specifically, I want to reference this video that I shared, a live stream that I shared recently on my wall when I attended this protest. The funny thing is that the protest was essentially going swimming at a local watering hole. But we're going live. We use StreamYard here and we live stream to the Conscious Resistance, my Facebook page. And then later this is put up as a podcast at livefreenow.show. I got a new studio set up. So folks, let me know how it looks. Let me know how it sounds. And I just got a notice here. Failed to post to Facebook. Here's what Facebook said. This is on the Conscious Resistance Facebook page. You recently posted something that violates Facebook policy, so you're temporarily blocked from using this feature. For more information, visit the Help Center to keep from getting blocked again. Make sure you've read and understand our community standards. This block will be active for 4 days and one more hour. Okay, so we can't post on the Conscious Resistance page for now, so that's a bummer. But thank you so much for tuning in. We're going to take your questions here shortly. But yeah, my name is John Bush. I'm a native Austinite. Let me know how the sound is, guys that are watching live, if you don't mind. Native Austinite, love my city, big fan of freedom. And I've been a fan of freedom for quite some time now. And unfortunately, freedom is under threat more so than usual. In fact, it reminds me of after 9/11 with all the panic and fear. When people get worked up into a frenzy, they tend to more easily relinquish their rights without resistance. Thankfully, there are a lot of people that are resisting nowadays and pushing back. And that is something that we did more recently. So let me share the video with you that I'm talking about and referencing. This all started with an Alex Jones, who we're going to be talking about here in this video. Alex Jones apparently went down to the Austin Greenbelt and protested and stormed quite a bit because his wife previously in that day tried to go hike on the Austin Greenbelt and she was turned away because apparently you need to wear masks and you need to have a reservation to walk on the Austin Greenbelt. So he showed up and protest and made a big stink. And I got a kick out of the video. I'm not an Alex Jones fan. I'm going to tell you why. A very controversial character, a little bit, actually a lot right-wing and nationalistic. And ever since he went on the big Trump train, used to be a Jones fan. We'll talk about some of that in a little while. But nonetheless, when I saw him storming down these folks, the bureaucrats at the Greenbelt entrance, I actually enjoyed it quite thoroughly. So I'm going to play a little clip of that so you can see what started this whole protest, maskless, defiance, peaceful non-resistance. And we're going to get into some of the response that I got. A lot of favorable response from freedom lovers and people that are like, heck yeah, we need more of this. People engaging in peaceful non-compliance. But there was a whole lot of people that really freaked out, said some nasty things, and were quite offended that we had the audacity to go swimming in a swimming hole that was closed down by the city. So let's see. This is what old Jones had to do.
Nothing more than the edict of radical leftist Mayor Adler. A power grab.
Where are you going, huh?
Well, the past, I've been coming here since I was in high school and college, and now you guys use your COVID hoax to, like, set a checkpoint up so you can take over the parks and start charging? It's unconstitutional. This is not even a city ordinance. This is a illegal power grab of the people's Greenbelt, and it's time to free Austin. So are you guys volunteers to see Austin? Who are you, masked man?
I'm a lifeguard.
So Jones is storming down
rings, now part of the criminal power grab. The reservation is that we live in a free country. We live in America.
He pulls out his bullhorn, makes a big stink. Okay, so yeah, we already have comments. Kim saying Alex Jones was just bloviating and everyone made fun of him. He just needed the attention. Jerk. So yeah, I agree. Alex Jones is a jerk and he's very far right wing. But, you know, when I see this activity going on, storming down with the most ridiculous stuff here in Austin, Texas, to think that they believe closing down outdoor trails in 95 to 100 degree weather is all of a sudden some great grand do-good bureaucrat activity that's going to save everyone from COVID, I think is absolutely ridiculous. So when I saw old AJ protesting and storming down, I actually got a kick out of it and really appreciated it. Well, he later encouraged people to go do a swim down at the Greenbelt. They tore down the barrier. Maybe like 150 people showed up and stormed down. And at that event, he said, come on out this Saturday. We're going to be down at the Zilker Park, Barton Springs Freeside. Well, we already had plans to go swimming at Barton Springs. Come to find out that Barton Springs was closed because of COVID. So wanted to go get in the sun, wanted to go participate and thumb our nose at the man and engage in some peaceful noncompliance. We decided to come down to the Barton Springs Freeside. And let me show you what the scene was. It was actually a really beautiful scene, and I'm very glad that we went. I was a little hesitant. Again, I'm not a fan of Alex Jones. I don't necessarily want to be associated with Alex Jones. I have many friends that are Alex Jones supporters. I used to be an Alex Jones supporter over, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago. I'll talk about some of the big falling out there. I ran Brave New Books for a couple of years, and many of the folks that patronized our store and that were part of our community, conspiracy theorists, libertarian, voluntarists, they were big fans of Jones. I always pointed out that the store, being a genuinely anarchist store, doesn't support Donald Trump, right? And we see around the Trump time and before, that's when Jones had this hardcore deviation to the right, and he abandoned his core, what I appreciated him for back in the day, which was like banging on the police state, banging on the surveillance state, exposing false flag terrorism, exposing the false flag terrorism that pointed the blame at Muslims, created all this hysteria to take away rights, to build this massive panopticon police state. And then all of a sudden, Donald Trump comes around and now he again is pointing, and he himself is pointing the finger at Muslims and folks in the Middle East, creating all sorts of division and discord, leaning heavy into the nationalists, pro-borders, saying a lot of nasty things. So he used to be a pretty cool guy back in the day and share a lot of good information. But either way, I wanted to go to enjoy the sun with my girlfriend, with my friend, and to take part in pushing back because, you know, this is one of the most ridiculous things that's taken place here in the city of Austin, locking down public swimming holes that are plenty huge. There's so many studies that even show whether you believe the virus is bullshit or not as bad or whatever. There's all these studies that show the sun actually deactivates the virus really quickly. But let me just play some of the video here. It was actually a pretty cool event. And man, it got a whole lot of attention. This video got 15,000 views, which is way more than my Facebook Live videos generally get. Most of that was supportive people, but then there was a lot of haters. We're going to talk about those haters, and I'm going to talk about how what we have, what I'm beginning to realize as this COVID pandemic stretches on for 6+ months, is that, and I want to honor people, and everyone has their own view of reality, right? And it becomes problematic when people use government or encourage government to force their view and their values upon everyone else. That's where I see a big problem as a libertarian, as an anarchist. But I'm beginning to recognize that different groups of people have different values in life. Some of them value freedom as one of their highest ideals. Others value safety as one of their highest ideals. I was going to say health, but the irony is that a lot of the stuff that those that value safety and health and are trying to stay healthy, a lot of the stuff that they're doing is actually antithetical to building a strong immune system and true health. But there's this divergence between those that value freedom over safety and those that value safety over freedom. And it's very similar to what we saw after 9/11. You know, the old Ben Franklin, those that give up liberties for security end up getting neither, right? We have the same phenomenon going on. And there's a lot of people that are willing to give up their liberty, sacrifice their liberty. Maybe they don't even care about liberty, but there's a lot of other people that do really appreciate liberty to the point where they're going to actively disobey unjust laws. And yeah, so this is what the scene was when we went down to Barton Springs. It was super duper cool. This is the free side, which normally you just walk down and enjoy yourself, but it was all barricaded and the barricades got torn down and a bunch of people showed up to enjoy themselves on this beautiful summer afternoon.
John Bush here with Live Free Now, livefreenow.show. This is the scene right now, Barton.
Computer's acting up a little bit as we do the live stream. Let's see if I can pull that back up. But yeah, Barton Springs, for those of you not familiar, it's a beautiful swimming hole. Here we go.
Freeze in freedom. And this is something that Facebook doesn't want you to see because I just recorded a video and uploaded it and it got taken down because it says it doesn't comply with the community standards. So I don't know what community standards they're talking about, but we're here today. A lot of people showed up in mass to without masks, in mass, but without masks to protest the city of Austin shutting down public spaces like this and requiring masks. It stemmed from old Alex Jones, love him or hate him. He is making a stink about the city of Austin Parks and Recreation Department that are requiring masks for these spaces when you're out exercising. And he showed up and shouted down and protested at one of the Greenbelt entrances and then had a protest, invited a bunch of people down there, tore out some barricades. And then a bunch of people were invited to come out today as well. So we wanted to come out, get some sun, enjoy the water. And this is a bunch of people just breached the Barton Springs wall. So here's the free side. And then a bunch of people started climbing over there. Climbing over and going to Barton Springs, which is closed. And so it's really, as I said in the other video, it's peak 2020. When going to a local swimming hole without a mask or permission from city government is considered an act of rebellion.
Peak 2020, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I want to give some commentary on the Alex Jones supporters that were there. Of course, most, if not all of them, are big time Trump supporters and have really, you know, many of them were standing alongside me when we were supporting Dr. Ron Paul, when we were full on libertarians. But if you're involved in the liberty movement, then you know that a significant number of libertarians hopped on the Trump train and themselves saw a shift more towards the right, all the way to the point where when at one time they were wholeheartedly opposed to the very existence of the Department of Homeland Security because they correctly saw it for what it is, essentially the United States version of the Gestapo, a federal surveillance police force. They were once opposed to that before the Trump era. Now you fast forward, and because their guy is in power, all of a sudden they are fully supportive of the Department of Homeland Security utilizing federal paramilitary police forces in order to go keep the peace or engage in police activity in local communities because they got caught into this left-right, this us versus them paradigm where when you are afraid of the other, when you feel like your team is threatened by the other, when you can kind of dehumanize a group, communists, Antifa, terrorists, right? It's the same thing with the Muslims in after 9/11. Everyone's like, we're just going to call them a terrorist and we're going to take away their humanism, their humanity. So it's easier to be accepting of bombs dropping just the same. The Antifa folks, the BLM, it's all socialist Marxists. So they're the other, they're the enemy. Now all of a sudden we're supportive of the federal government utilizing this unprecedented power. Of course, when the Dems take control, that precedent's going to be set and DHS paramilitary forces are going to be used to put down the lockdown protests or the right wingers that are storming or the Boogaloo Boys or whatever. So I'm going to give some commentary on the Trump stuff. That was a whole lot of it there. And then I want to talk about some of the response and some of the reaction. Let me just point out. So during the protest, there was a bunch of people, as you saw, that started climbing over the wall to Barton Springs, which is a fenced-in pool that's spring-fed, very beautiful spot, although it's totally gotten crowded. Now they charge a bunch of money for it. Now during the COVID era, when it is open, you have to have a reservation. Apparently you have to wear masks in, but they actually closed it down because of COVID, even though Austin has totally leveled out and is like going like this. But there, and then there's the free side where normally because of Jones and his crew, they tore down the barrier. Normally you can just go down there and swim. So people were climbing over the fence and there were chants starting to go, tear down the wall, tear down the wall, right? And it's likened back to the wall between East and West Berlin. You know, it's like, tear down the wall, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall, is what Reagan said, which generally tearing down walls is a very freedom, liberty type of activity, right? So, of course, the Trump supporters and the Jones supporters wholeheartedly, most of them are all in favor of building a wall, erecting a barrier. So I found it quite ironic that here we have people wanting to tear down a wall and meanwhile wanting to build the wall. And of course, Dr. Ron Paul said it best, like I tried my best to remain on that whole libertarian train, no matter what's going on. I don't want to be reactionary, caught in the reaction of the day. I want to be plowing forward, setting my own agenda, following my own principles rather than my principles shifting and deviated because of the politics of the day. But it was Ron Paul that said in one of the debates in 2012, I'm not so sure. How do we know that the mask isn't intended to keep us in? Right now we see COVID, you can't go to Mexico. And now we have you can't relinquish your passport without paying all this money and so on and so forth. So I think that's a problem wholeheartedly. Another ironic thing that I saw was when people breached the wall and were swimming at Barton Springs, first some pool bureaucrats and like the manager of Barton Springs pool came and nobody was listening to them. Then two Austin police officers showed up. And they started kind of enforcing, like, hey, you guys got to go. You guys got to go. And Owen Schroyer, who's one of Jones's right-hand guys and also does a show on their network or whatever, he grabbed the bullhorn and started praising the police and talking about how people want to defund the police, but we're here to tell the police that we support them. Again, the irony there was that the police were the ones that were enforcing, and it was like friendly fascism. Because it, you know, if the activists and the people that breached the wall stayed there, then the police potentially would have used force or coercion in order to compel obedience to the cops. Because at the end of the day, they get their paycheck from the city of Austin, not from Alex Jones, not from Owen Schroyer. So I find some irony in that as well. At one point, the Patriots, even right-wingers, Boogaloo types, militia types, many of them rightfully recognize that municipal police are an enforcement arm for the state, especially like liberal Democrats controlled municipal cities, right? But all of a sudden, when the left started wanting to defund the police, now all of a sudden, folks on the right are even more supportive of the police. And there was always your traditional conservative that was supportive of law and order and the police, but a lot of the more extreme elements, former Jones followers from back in the day, were very critical of the police because they rightfully saw the federal funding, the agenda there, the control, the fusion centers, the Big Brother aspect and elements. And then at the end of the day, if there is to be some sort of mandatory vaccine, if there is to be further controls on firearms and gun rights, if there are to be red flag laws, which they're trying to push through in the state of Texas, then we can see that it's going to be the law enforcement that are enforcing that, right? And meanwhile, they're like, we need to stand up for the cops and make sure that they don't get defunded. So those are my thoughts there on the whole, some of the irony of the Jones thing. And it's all hardcore nationalism. They're chanting USA, USA, USA. And I'm like, oh man, this makes me want to puke. Why don't we chant freedom instead? Because the United States nationalist entity with the US Constitution and one of the strongest central governments that's ever existed is definitely antithetical to freedom in many ways. It's just everybody's got this team mentality where it's like, my team, hoorah, America, America, America. Meanwhile, America's done a whole lot of treacherous, nasty things and is going to continue to do a whole lot of treacherous things. It's a problem. Society of the Spectacle says defunded police will lead to something worse. Well, you know, we already got something pretty damn bad right now. So I think that we ought to defund the police entirely and let people take care of themselves. Rather, they're relying on private security forces, militias, firearms in the hands of peaceful people and people defending themselves, because law enforcement is just the enforcement arm of the state. And I'm hardcore anti-state, me personally. Maybe some people like the state. Maybe people are way into government. Well, let me share some of the comments where people got like all worked up. So this, first of all, a lot of people started praising and were super excited. This gives me so much hope. Thanks for sharing this. Let me zoom in a little bit so you can see it a little bit better. Way to go. We love it, John. Tom Woods, I tagged him. He chimed in. Ridiculous. Remember how opening the bars in Wisconsin was supposed to kill everyone? Wow, ban the truth. Love this. This is my sister. Like, I don't know about this. Just enter without paying. It's free because you paid for it. But along the afternoon, some folks popped over and were really, really upset. And were like wishing COVID on me. Please refuse any medical intervention when you get sick. Great. A bunch of Alex Jones followers who believe his shticks. Idiots. I hope those jumping the fence got charged with trespassing. Enjoy the last 2 weeks of your lives. Do not go to the hospital when you get COVID. And then here's someone supportive. I hope you all get charged with trespassing. Total disregard for the city employees who worked there. This is why our city will take even longer to open up. Selfish a-holes like you and everyone out there. Enjoy your day. You may be spending your next week on a respirator. People are all for freedom to get other people sick. Gross. Well, this is stupid. Go choke on your freedom, or well, you will be when you have COVID. So you're not Austinites. It's like, what? I've lived in Austin my whole life. So yeah. And that got me thinking. There was a whole lot of pushback. Somebody actually shared the video and was like, these are super spreaders. And then a bunch of people cobbled on it and it got like another boost of attention, but this time it was negative attention. And so it really got me thinking, there's a lot of differences and a lot of what I believe to be uninformed people. And again, it comes down to people have different values. And in many cases, it's not necessarily that one group of people is right and one group of people is wrong, per se. It's just that we all have different values and different perspectives that we view the world, that we view different circumstances, that we view world events from. Myself and many people that I associate with, I have a lens and a perspective where freedom is extremely important. I also have a lens and perspective where for the past 20 years, I've been researching this whole technocratic, totalitarian dictatorship and the conspiratorial view of history, where there's a small group of people that want to take total control over the globe and do a lot of harmful things to a lot of harmful people. And they already have been doing that for quite some time. So when I look at this whole COVID thing, I'm like, oh, at first I was skeptical and a little caution, like what's going on. But as news and evidence came out, it became increasingly clear that this is kind of overhyped here. There are some problems. We ought to be concerned and a little more cautious. But at the end of the day, it's totally overblown. And a significant, like 40% of the folks that die from COVID are elderly folks in nursing home. And most of those came from the five states where Democratic governors sent COVID positive patients back to the nursing homes, right? So you take that out, significantly less number. And I'm going to go over some studies and some reports about how the numbers are totally flubbed. I also come at it from a lens of natural health and the best things that we can do in order to avoid getting the virus and spreading the virus is maintain a healthy lifestyle, avoid toxins, avoid a bunch of sugar, avoid stress, avoid allopathic Western medicine, avoid pharmaceuticals, engage in natural remedies. Get a lot of vitamin D. There's studies showing that people that have vitamin D deficiency have worse outcomes with COVID. All of these things. Allow the microbiome on your hand and in your gut and in the world around us to do its part to strengthen our immune system, to create that symbiotic relationship between the human life form and the rest of the earth so that viruses can come and go and not be dilapidating, right? And there's all this germ theory versus other theories and the idea that the virus isn't actually what makes people sick. It's already dis-ease in their system. And the virus is like a catalyst for all sorts of stuff. Well, people hiding out in their house, avoiding vitamin D, people washing their hands religiously, obsessively, and getting rid of the good bacteria on their hands. So, and people not mixing it up with other human beings where that microbiome and bacteria and viruses that are just naturally around us in the air and spreading between human and human allows your immune system to be smart and effective and be able to defend itself without having to rely on external vaccines or external medicine and doctors, right? All that stuff, having a mask all day, recirculating your carbon dioxide that's supposed to be a gas that's outputted, but instead you're constantly breathing it in. None of these things are good for your health. So I come at it from a completely different perspective, a perspective that there's a sinister conspiracy taking place to harm a lot of people and to siphon power to a small group. I take a perspective of freedom is one of the highest values and ethics that we can strive towards, because when we have more freedom, we have more human flourishing. And I take a perspective of natural health. And that's a completely different perspective than a general part of the public. In fact, probably the majority of the public, they have a perspective of, I'm totally freaked out. I don't want harm to come to myself, my family, my parents, my grandparents. I don't value freedom as much as other people. And I am conditioned to rely on the advice of experts and authorities and doctors. And what they say about COVID is what I take as fact, right? That's not me. That's not many of the people I associate with. So we have this divergence. We have this problem here where these two groups, there's a lot of tension between the two of them. I don't know exactly what the answer is. I'd like to see a more decentralized society, maybe city states here and there, maybe more intentional communities where we have 50, 100 people that live on this big 2,000 plot piece of land, and we go about our business and we trade amongst ourselves and we trade and engage in commerce and friends and conferences and business and visits to other communities. But when we're in our community, we're doing our thing and we're perfectly comfortable knowing that COVID isn't as deadly as it was made out to be, mixing it up. Maybe we shelter in those that have terrible, terrible health outcomes or comorbidities or pre-existing conditions, and the rest of us go about our business. I don't know, but all I do know is that this one size fits all top down, especially if you're in a compact, packed city, it's not working. It's creating a lot of tension between people. There's other people that are so freaked out and like they get hateful and nasty when we were just some people that were going to the damn pool to enjoy the summer and to prove a point, you know? And then I want to touch on, some people are like, it's because of you that Austin is not going to be able to open up, right? It's because of this. And then other people were like, wow, there's going to be a big spike in COVID cases now because of this. And I was like, you know what? I'm literally taking my kids to the water park. There's one in North Central Texas. There's one in the Houston area. And we literally, the summer months, we've gone probably about 5 to 6 times a month to these water parks. And in the water parks are thousands of people, none of whom are wearing masks. Maybe there's the occasional 1% of the whole 100% of the people that wear masks at this water park. There's people waiting in line, people crowded in the wave pool, crowded in the lines. And I'm like, oh, so this outdoor adventure in the 95 degree weather is going to create a spike. Well, then why hasn't there been a spike with people constantly going to the damn water park, right? Everyone just has this image of the way things are on COVID, with COVID, because I think in large part, they're still sheltered in, they're still locked down, and they're still, their reality is what they perceive through the media, which is the shots of the hospital. A lot of times they recycle the shots of the hospital. Remember early on, they were using shots of an Italian hospital and passing it off as though it was in the United States of America or New York City. They're hearing the stories about the morgue trucks being shipped in. And then Derek Brose goes to investigate in Houston. There's nothing going on. They're hearing the stories about the Austin Convention Center being converted to a spillover area when the hospitals reach capacity, and then it never, ever gets used, right? And so that's their perception of reality. Meanwhile, there's others of us that have, you know, our lives hasn't changed a whole lot. We've had to, there was lockdowns here. And in all honesty, I go to this restaurant almost every day when I drop the kids off at school, and I wear a mask because I don't want to cause conflict with the owners, and I don't want to create tension, and I don't want to go in there and say that I have some sort of health condition or whatever. But, you know, when I'm outside, when I'm out in public, when it's more of a big box store, or when it's a vibe where it's like nobody's really enforcing the mask thing because it's a mandate here in Texas, I don't buy into it. But life hasn't changed significantly for me. And when you also critically think about the reality of the COVID numbers and you don't just take the word of the media for it, you begin to see there's a whole lot of holes in the story, and it's not as bad as we think it is. So let me just go over some of that real quick. And I don't know, if there's probably people that are the people that were complaining and critical, I hope that they would watch this long. Maybe they're not watching it at all, but this is more for them, because I think a lot of the people that are thinking critically about this event know the reality of it. Lucky W says, the idea that asymptomatic people spread the virus is the lie that created much of the situation we are in. If they do spread it, it's an extremely small percentage. Yeah, that's right. And then the World Health Organization even came out and was like, there's very scant evidence that the virus spreads asymptomatically. We're pretty sure it doesn't spread asymptomatically. And then the next day they had to do major damage control. There's some contention on, okay, so maybe it doesn't spread asymptomatically. That's when someone gets infected by the virus, but they never show symptoms. The virus comes and goes, which happens to a large majority of the people, because in reality, the virus for most people is extremely weak. And that's the beauty of having a strong, healthy immune system, a good diet, exercise, avoiding stress, taking vitamins and minerals, giving your body the nutrients, the supplementation, the environment that it needs in order to fight infection on its own without having to rely on the flu shot or the vaccine or the antibiotics, right? You're taking antibiotics, you're totally destroying your gut microbiome, which is where most of your immune system exists. You're killing a lot of the bacteria, the good bacteria and the bad bacteria, right? And so for a lot of people that are relatively healthy, the virus never even creates a viral load to the point where you have symptoms, let alone spread the virus. Now, there is this concept of pre-symptomatic, whereby you don't show symptoms for 2, 3, 4 days or whatever. Then you start to show symptoms later, and it's debated as to whether or not most people believe that you can spread the virus in that previous state. But again, I would argue that for the healthy folk that have a really solid immune system, like I just don't get the flu, knock on wood. My kids and I don't get the flu. I don't know when the last time I had the flu was. It might have been when I was a kid. And so there was a time actually when I took too much kratom. I was testing out some kratom and it was an extract. I hadn't experimented with the extract before. And I like took some and didn't have any effect. So I took some more and there was no effect. And I was like, let me try a different one. Took some, didn't have an effect. And then I had like flu-like symptoms for the next day. That wasn't the flu. That wasn't the flu virus. It wasn't influenza. But that's the last time it just popped in my head that I actually experienced flu-like symptoms. So most people, if you have a good, healthy immune system, the virus won't create the viral load needed in order to expel from your mouth when you're talking and get it all over other people so they become infected. Meanwhile, unhealthy people are more easily able to spread the virus because the virus takes foot in the body and it replicates itself and it evades the healthy cells and the body's antibodies and immune system isn't able to stop it, right? So, yeah. Okay, well, kind of lost my train of thought there, but that's okay. We are going to keep on cruising. Oh, look at this guy. Inda Cat I Am. Kratom helps people. Helped me quit oxys. Oh, yeah. So I was going to show you guys. So here's some of the research just in the past couple of weeks that's come out demonstrating that the virus, a lot of the numbers are total fraud and total BS. Just to start, I want to share that over 40% of the people that have died from COVID, apparently, allegedly died from COVID, it's listed on the death certificate, whether it's tested or not, over 40% came from nursing homes. This is representative of a tiny, tiny, tiny small percentage of the population. This is a demonstration of the Pareto principle, the 80-20 rule, the inputs that 20% of the inputs result in 80% of the outputs. And Sky Vilfredo Pareto, an Italian economist, came up with this because he noticed that 20% of the pea plants in his garden created 80% of the yield. Then he went and applied it to economies and found that 20% of the wealth is held by 80% of the people. Same thing, like 20% of the labors in a business produce 80% of the results. 20% of your products produce 80% of your revenue. Not exactly 20-80, but there's a tendency for a small number of inputs to create a great number of outputs. And that's exactly what we see taking place with the COVID-19 death numbers. A very small number of inputs, those that are in nursing homes, create a maximum, a huge number of outputs. And then you take a huge, considerable chunk of those roughly 40%. The numbers have changed. This was from a couple months ago, but that still stays the same. That roughly 40%, a significant chunk of those were from the 5 states where Democrat governors, and I point out Democrat, I'm not a left-right Democrat Republican guy, but I like to point that out because all these Democrats are thumbing their nose at Trump for his handling when in reality, Cuomo and it's like New Jersey and some of the Northeast states, they sent COVID-positive patients. So did Sweden for that matter, but Sweden later apologized and said it was stupid. Cuomo instead is doing a cover up on studies and not letting them do an investigation into it. They sent COVID positive patients to nursing homes. That is why part of the reason why the death toll allegedly is so high. Another reason why it's so high is because there's shenanigans and chicanery and all sorts of crazy stuff going on. So let's just break some of that down because I want to share. This is something that old Derek Bros pointed out as well. This is a story. Look, here we go. So there's a story. With no confidence in Texas coronavirus data, Collin County adds disclaimer to its case counts. So, you know, there's all these dashboards, right? We got these COVID-19 dashboards that local communities have. Well, Collin County, which is a county in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, I think north of Dallas, they are not happy with the Health and Human Services. And you'll recall perhaps a month or two ago, a Texas Health and Human Service representative gave a presentation to the Collin County Commissioner's Court where they said, we're changing the way that we list deaths. Now it doesn't need a test and it can be a second or third cause of death on the death certificate. And we're going to list it as a COVID death. And it even said in their little report, in their presentation, their PowerPoint, this may result in an increase in numbers. Well, Collin County, I guess, is like being totally honest. They're probably totally fed up. They're probably conservative and they're like, what the hell's going on here? Well, the Texas Health and Human Services, I guess, is too. But look at this. This is the Collin County dashboard. Notice Collin County is providing COVID-19 numbers and data as a convenience to our residents. However, Department of State Health Services officials have acknowledged that the active case count for Collin County is significantly overstated. We advise residents that Collin County lacks confidence in the data currently being provided to us. DSHS officials have agreed to immediately redirect resources to correct the issue, but have not provided a timeline on when their reports will be corrected. Now watch this. Let me see if we can blow this part up here. Okay, look it up. Check it out. So this is the active cases, right? Look at these active cases. Oh, there's 4,600 active cases. Oh my God, this is bad. What happened here in August? We saw this giant spike. What's going on? Weird. And then wait a second, what's today? Oh, there's actually 106 active cases. What did it drop down to? Where's the number? Oh, I can't pull it up, but you can see this big drop here. See that? They recalculated the numbers and it turns out they were including recovered cases in the active cases. Ugh. And then, you know, the news was probably banging like, oh, we have this huge spike going on. Like, look at this big scary spike. Oh my God, this looks pretty freaking scary here. Oh, it's wrong. Oh my God, but it wasn't just Collin County. This is happening all over the place. Thousands of coronavirus deaths will be wiped off the government's official toll after urgent review into counting fiasco that included people who had recovered and died of other causes in the toll. This is in England. What else do we have? And then, of course, we heard the story out of Florida where the guy was died in a motorcycle accident and it was listed as a COVID death because he was COVID positive, died for other reasons. 10% of Rhode Island coronavirus deaths not caused by COVID-19. Man, what the heck? What's up with that? I need to do a video just on this, just to hammer it home. Denver doctors may have found the answer to pandemic mystery. What happened to all the heart attacks? Oh, this is another example. So there's this one phenomenon, which is a good indicator to explore perhaps the problem, the real problem with COVID-19. And that is historic cases, historic deaths, right? So there's CDC provides this average number of deaths for any given time, right? And you can compare the average number of deaths last year and the year before with the average number of deaths now. There's a name for this. It slips my mind though. And so during the COVID pandemic, there was an increase in the number of deaths compared to the average number of deaths before, right? So without all the chicanery and the hocus pocus of listing this as a death or the motorcycle accident, so on and so forth, that's actually a decent way to look like, okay, something's going on here because there's excess death. That's what it's called, an excess death indicator, okay? There's excess deaths going on right now, so something's up. Well, not all of that could necessarily be attributed to COVID-19. And in fact, much of it could be attributed to the indirect results of government's response to COVID-19. And that's the example that we see here in Denver. They did a study and the study found that there is an increase in deaths, heart attack deaths at the home, not in the hospital, compared to before. And what was happening is because people were so freaked out because the mainstream media sensationalism and the bureaucrats and the public health officials and the Tony Faucis, people were so freaked out to leave their home, especially to go to the hospital where there's other COVID-19 patients, that they stayed at home. And think about the older couple when the husband's like, honey, I got this pain in my chest. It's really, really hurting. And the wife's like, well, you better go check that out. We know that you've had heart problems in your family. And the guy like downplays it. You're like, oh, I'm sure it's nothing. You know, meanwhile in his head, he's like, I don't want to go out. I could get COVID. I have existing conditions. I can't go to the hospital. And then downplay it. A lot of people have a tendency to downplay stuff anyway, rather than being more cautionary, right? And so people like that are actually getting heart attacks and dying in the house because they weren't going to get the care. And there's a whole slew of stuff like that where they stopped the elective procedures when in reality, many of those elective procedures were extremely beneficial, preventative type procedures and surgeries. So I'm not entirely convinced that the excess death can be contributed entirely to COVID-19 and not indirect results of the lockdown, like suicides, for example. We see that suicides are spiking as well. So that's just one story. Let me show you this too. This is a big one. And so early on, it was estimated that the mortality rate for COVID-19 could be between 2 and 4%. Sorry, the infection fatality rate, the IFR, meaning the number of people that die from COVID divided into the number of people that have had COVID, that gets you the ratio for the infection fatality rate. So if it's 2 to 4%, that means that 2 to 4% of the people that get COVID could die. Now, caveat, that doesn't mean that 2 to 4% randomly that get COVID can die. Of course, if you have comorbidities, obesity, heart disease, all sorts of other issues, if you're older and have these problems, especially, that's mainly the percentage that makes up a large significant portion of the people that die. So it's not just a general 2 to 4%, but still the number 2 to 4%, wow, that's pretty bad odds. I actually had a surgery way back in the day and they gave me a 40% chance of surviving. And I was like, no, 40% chance of dying. So at least I had the 60-40 in my favor. And I was like, whoa, here's a scar for that. I don't know if you can see it. Whoop, whoop, whoop. There's a lot more, but I'm not going to show them to you. And so 2 to 4%. Wow, that's fearful. Still, people are still utilizing that whenever I go in and tell them, well, actually, the CDC has reported that based on their best estimate, 0.3% is probably more close to what the infection fatality rate is. And as we're about to show you, the World Health Organization, the authority on pandemics, they actually think it's 0.6%. Now, I want to point out that on an average flu season, actually, maybe it's a bad flu season, the infection fatality rate is like 0.13 or so. So that's not that much higher. Sure, it's 5 times higher, potentially, right? But does that really warrant locking down the entire economy, requiring masks, having people's life savings, their business that they invested in completely wiped out, creating this crazy weird environment for students and children and stuff? I personally don't think so. But let's listen to what the World Health Organization has to say.
Understand about mortality. There's different ways that mortality can be calculated. And if we look very crudely, if we look at the number of people that have died over the number of people that have been reported, you get a certain percentage. What many groups are looking at right now is what we're calling the infection fatality ratio, which is looking at the number of deaths among all of the people who have been infected. And right now, we don't know how many people have been infected. Because there are challenges with surveillance and detecting every single one of the cases. And certainly there are many unrecognized cases at the moment. What we understand from many of these studies, these are estimates of the IFR, the infection fatality ratio, is that the estimates hover around less than 1%, or 0.6%. And there are a couple of studies that are out that have estimated this 0.6%.
0.6% is a far cry from 2 to 4%. It is significantly less. And this is what all the hysteria is being brought about. And remember that 0.6% isn't if you get the COVID, then you have a 0.6% of dying. Like we roll the dice, we got the 0.6% odds. No, that 0.6% in large part is a very small portion of the population. Actually, it's actually a pretty larger portion of the population that has all these comorbidities and stuff, but it tends to be older, larger. That's not to say that healthy people don't come down with the virus in a freak way and get all sick. Kids largely do not have negative outcomes from the virus, and studies are showing that they hardly spread it. So that's what all the hubbub is about. And I question, like, wow, 0.6%, numbers totally inflated. It's a very small portion of the population that's becoming sick, yet everyone still freaks out when we go down to the freaking watering hole without a mask, and everyone is still hardcore sheltered in. It blows my mind. Then we see these studies coming out, and they show that there's a reason why they show that there's a significant number of young people that are completely misinformed and believe the virus to be way worse than it is. Okay. So here's one of the studies there. And this is demonstrative. A lot of people are giving me hell on my YouTube, my Facebook video. They are part of this group. So this is a study on my mind. They blinded us from science. Franklin Templeton Group, an economic research group. The first round of our Franklin Templeton Gallup Economics of Recovery study has already yielded three powerful and surprising insights. One, Americans still misperceive the risks of death from COVID-19 for different age cohorts to a shocking extent. Two, the misperception is greater for those who identify as Democrats and for those who rely more on social media for information. Partisanship and misinformation, to misquote Thomas Dolby, are blinding us from science. He blinded us from science. She blinded me with science. We find a sizable safety premium that could become a significant driver of inflation as recovery gets underway. Again, their economics, financial advising group. But check this out. Here's the misperceptions of risk. On average, Americans believe that people age 55 and older account for just over half of total COVID-19 deaths. The actual figure is 92%. So you hear that? On average, people believe that people 55 and over account for just half, when in reality, it's over 92%. That's a significant number, 92%. And there's a significant misperception there. Americans believe that people age 44 and younger account for about 30% of total deaths. The actual figure is 2.7%. Americans overestimate the risk of death from COVID-19 for people age 24 and younger by a factor of 50. And they think the risk for people age 65 and older is half of what it actually is. They also found that younger people tend to be more fearful of dying from COVID. Younger people tend to be more inaccurate when it comes to what they think about the death. So, and they attribute that a lot to partisanship and social media. So that's pretty significant there, that a lot of people are misinformed and they think it's because of social media. I think people are misinformed because of the sensationalism and the hype coming from the media personally. That's my perspective on it. Now, what other news stories do we have here? I just want to hammer home what we were talking about earlier. Here's another example of the stories, the numbers being off. Texas officials say record high COVID-19 positivity rate was caused by coding errors, system upgrades. Oh, my goodness gracious. What other ones do we have here? Virus, vaccine. Okay, now we're going to try to rush the freaking vaccine through. All right. So one thing I want to share is that a study was released that Derek Brose did a great video on, and the study was about people being accepting of authoritarian measures and stuff like that in response to COVID. And the more afraid people are of the pandemics and of threats by germs and parasites, the more willingly they will accept authoritarian government. And let's just go over this great article old Derek Brose wrote here. The conscious resistance. Multiple studies predicted governments become authoritarian in response to pandemics. Over the last 8 months, we've seen many governments around the world enacting authoritarian practices in the name of preventing the spread of COVID-19. All the way back in January, Chinese government began welding people in their homes to stop them from potentially contaminating others. As panic spread around the world, eager politicians now had the excuse they need to push policies which restrict freedom of movement and speech. And he goes and lists out all these terrible things: checkpoints, temperature screenings, contract tracing apps. Of course, the Trump administration is pushing that as well. Quarantine centers, forced vaccinations, mandatory vaccine talks, thermal drones, raiding of businesses, arresting and locking down people. And I just want to share a video real quick. Here's the kind of stuff that's happening because of everyone's fear of COVID.
When I need to grow my business, I use Fiverr. I found a designer for my logo, a programmer for my website, writers for my content. Just search, click, and you're done. I love the results so much. I even
sorry
got
about that.
Tattoo my arm.
We got an ad plan. There we go. There it is.
Stop dreaming and find your freelancer at Fiverr.
Okay, there goes the stupid ad jamming us up. Okay, here's a video. This is what people, because of all the fear, because of all the hype, people are accepting and pushing this and favorable about this and not standing up to this terrible, terrible stuff that's going on right now. Look at this lady.
Get away from me!
For not wearing a mask.
Let go of me, bitch. Let go of me, he's fucking choking me. He's choking me. What the fuck?
Let go.
I'm not going to.
She's got an excuse for not wearing a mask. You ask yourself why you're attacking us. Fucking citizens.
Get off of me.
That was Australia, which is really, really bad when it comes to the COVID stuff. And then this is Spain or some Spanish-speaking country here. A mall security guard starts taking these ladies out, hitting them with a freaking baton. This poor young girl is like crying because she got struck by the baton. But we see the study that old bros is talking about, which I lost. The study is all about why people are accepting of authoritarian measures because they're afraid of the pandemics. And it's bad news bears. And that's, again, that just reading these studies resonated with me why all these people would be so up in arms that people are going to go swim without a mask out in the sun. And so check it out. This study here, parasite stress. According to a parasite stress hypothesis, authoritarian governments are more likely to emerge in regions characterized by a high prevalence of disease-causing pathogens. Highly concentrated power structures that repress dissent and emphasize submission to authority, social conformity, and hostility towards out groups. Due to the invisible nature of disease-causing parasites, attempts to control the spread of disease historically depended substantially on adherence to ritualized behavioral practices that reduced infection risk. The researchers also found that society tends to promote a collectivist worldview favoring obedience and conformity from the population. And then we see that exactly. It's become a ritual to wear the mask. We see this exact same scenario play out. Hey, check out this video. We're freedom-loving Americans. We're going to go swim in this swimming hole. And we're not going to wear masks because it's outdoors and whatever. We don't think masks are really making much of a difference. And then people freak out because we're nonconformists to their collectivist worldview. I even had people, I said, okay, so you've obviously favor, where do you draw the line? You obviously favor mandatory masks when someone's out at a public park or at a creek. What about mandatory vaccines? And this woman on one of these other threads, the one that shared and was like, these are super spreaders. She's like, yes, the public health of the group is more important than the freedom of the individual. It's a classic collectivist thing. And there were already people that had those tendencies, whether it's from public school, just conditioning, politics, they're Democrats or socialists or whatever. And now it's even magnified tenfold because of the fear present. Anytime there's fear present, it totally throws things out of whack. Oh, so I want to thank everyone that's tuning in to us. I just want to share one thing. And again, on the Jones commentary, because, you know, like I said, I was hesitant to participate in the event. Because Jones, I'm not a fan of Jones. Jones has gone extremely far right. If you're just tuning in, very nationalistic, hardcore on the Trump bandwagon. There's some tendencies of, what's the word? There's some bad tendencies with Trump and Trump followers. I'm sorry, Jones and Jones followers, but in large part, it's the same thing. You know, one of the reasons why Trump, old Jones got deplatformed is because he, in large part, I don't know if he's a significant part of it, but he got a lot of people to vote for Donald Trump. And then sure enough, shortly thereafter, he gets deplatformed. I think it was right before the next election, the general election that was going to be taking place, the primary elections that were going to be taking place after the 2016 presidential election. Hardcore deplatformed because the guy started amassing a whole lot of power. Used to be a fan, used to listen to his radio show back in college, you know, back 2004, 2005. all day. I would go to school Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, or Tuesday and Thursday, and I'd always be listening to the InfoWars show, the Alex Jones show, as I would walk from campus and so on and so forth. I thought I was so smart because I was in the know with the New World Order conspiracy, so on and so forth. I can actually attribute one of Jones's documentaries, 9/11 Road to Tyranny, to me kind of waking up back in 2002, shortly after 9/11. I already recognized that was total bogus, and that led me on this trip down the rabbit hole to learn about the conspiratorial view of history, Council on Foreign Relations, Trilateral Commission, Big Brother, eavesdropping, spying, global governance, North American Union, Security and Prosperity Partnership, all that good stuff, false flag terrorism, Oklahoma, USS Maine, the Gulf of Tonkin, 9/11, right? Largely made me who I am today. So I appreciated the guy, but I also noticed, man, this guy's kind of a jerk. Then in 2010, something huge happened that still comes up to this day. There's still people that are like, oh, aren't you the guy in the video where Jones did all that stuff? Especially with Catherine Bleich, or Catherine Bonendine, my ex-wife. She really got into it with Jones. So I just want to share this video real quick, just for some perspective, because everyone's like, you love Alex Jones. You went to his thing. It's like, man, you guys don't know my history with Alex Jones. And then all these left folks and Democrats and more socialist folks, you're like, you come out with that you don't favor masks because you want to do this freedom protest. And they're like, oh, well, you must be a Trump supporter. And, oh, you must love the police and be against police accountability and stuff. And it's just this whole paradigm where it's, if you're not like me, then you're necessarily like them. If you're not like them, then you're probably like me. But it's not the case. And so it's like, yeah, man, I haven't been a fan of Alex Jones for a decade now. So check this out. I just want to share this. This is actually pretty nuts. The context is the Austin Police Department shut down a gun show in Texas. They started using some nuisance ordinance that was saying they were creating a nuisance and they wouldn't let them do a gun show. So myself and Texans for Accountable Government, we organized a rally at APD headquarters to protest. And we invited the gun show speaker. We invited Alex Jones to speak back then as well. He didn't respond to our press release. He read our press release aloud on the air. And then he announces that he's coming to the protest. And we're like, wow, that'll be cool. He's going to bring a lot of people. We're going to storm down Austin Police Department. This was back in 2010. But he didn't play nice. And in fact, he ended up shitting all over everyone. And this is his show the next day where he's accusing Catherine Bleich, now Catherine Bonendine, my ex-wife, of being COINTELPRO, counterintelligence program.
I really appreciate Darwin Bedeker. I really pushed his arm to come to the protest on Monday to get him up here from San Antonio. And he wanted me on air right now to thank all my listeners that came out to that event and made it such a success.
We actually invited the people through. We invited the gun show owner and then invited people out through a PSA. We were playing on local pirate radio, just throwing that out there. Jesus.
But they're not going to stop. They think this is their town. They think the people of Austin belong to them. That is the city council, the ATF, and the police leadership. The average cop out there is disgusted by this. The reason I know is my dad came to the protest and I didn't notice him because the whole time I was there, I had like COINTELPRO poking me and getting in my face. And I'm sure some of them were, because later I found out about a meeting afterwards, which the people we know are connected to some operations about how they want to get me and go after me. And it's a whole nother subject, but it borders on illegal. But
he was talking about our Texans for Accountable Government meeting we had later. Nobody talked about any operations to get the guy. But anyway, when he said COINTELPRO poking him in the face, he was referring to, you'll see.
Luckily, we had people inside who found out about that and called me about it. But separate issue. Anytime you come out for the Second Amendment, you're going to have disruptors who are going to try to spin things and do that. But they failed miserably.
This is the rally.
We're constantly put on the defensive against the federal government.
That's me.
Every single time.
On the bullhorn.
Be it the FCC coming to town and trying to shut down our local micro broadcaster. Be it the National Highway and Traffic Safety Administration coming to town and trying to shut down and train the police officers to do blood withdrawals. Be it the BATF now coming to town and shutting us down and trying to shut down gun shows, ladies and gentlemen.
Anytime you come out for the Second Amendment, you're going to have disruptors.
So people are like shouting at Alex for storming over the protest that we had organized. And they're like, what are we going to do about this? This is nuts. And Jones is just shouting. And then, look, he's still shouting over Jerry Lynn Ward.
because the whole time I was there, I had like COINTELPRO poking me and getting in my face.
So now Catherine Bonandine comes and gets in his face to hold him accountable. And he's very, very rude.
Get away with your activities. You are not going to get away.
Hey, ladies, the Second and First Amendment. Get the hell out of my face.
I'm here to tell you right now that we are not your property.
You're not part of the team. You're not part of the team.
Because the whole time I was there, I had like COINTELPRO poking me and getting in my face.
And don't know what we're doing, and that
means okay. I had a lot of speakers here, and you wouldn't give up.
Wow, he just admitted to it to Captain Bleich. Liberty Restoration Project.
That's all I'm saying is that we would have wished that.
Well, I'm sorry, I brought anything. So hold on. There's been TSA veering on 90.1 for 3 days. That's the same station your show airs here in Austin. So there are people who work here.
So, I don't know. I just felt compelled to share this because I got a lot of flack for sharing this event that Jones organized. And it's like, man, I wanted to go to Barton Springs anyway. And at the same time, I'm not a fan of Jones. I really don't like the guy. I don't like his politics. I don't think he's a good, very friendly person. He's kind of a jerk, kind of a megalomaniac. But I was appreciative that the dude was storming down and making a big scene about the most ridiculous shutdowns. And then people are like, you're a Jones fan. Obviously, you're supporting Jones and Trump. And it's like, hold on a second. I haven't been a fan of this guy for 10 years, okay? And in that video, you can see he says, you guys are new activists. You guys don't understand freedom. And the worst part about it is he tells little Catherine Bonandine, you got a hard-on for me. You got a hard-on for me, he says. Man. And then he says, I'll be here in 20 years. And he looks at the camera. I'll be here in 20 years. It's like, well, 10 years later, we're here too, man. You're here and we're here. Everyone's still here. Man. So, yeah, that was going down. And not a fan. Not a fan how he departed. I'm not a fan of how libertarians have departed and followed Jones on the Trump train. I think it's important that we stay true to our principles. And then everyone's like, oh, you're a purist now. And oh, the purists. And they're like whining about the purists. But it's like, well, what are you now? Yeah, I'm a fucking purist. But we're not just in some sort of pipe dream, some idealistic anarchist pipe dream. We're actually creating an alternative that would honor our freedom, where we don't have to sacrifice our principles to support some right-wing nationalistic patriot movement or whatever the F. We can genuinely create a free society. That's what we're trying to do. So I just want to throw that out there. If anybody's still in the Jones train or the Trump train, you don't have to be in order to achieve your goals of freedom and liberty. And in fact, I believe in doing so, you get gobbled up into this nationalist fervor. And before you know it, you've shifted your principles away from the foundation, which is usually freedom. So, yeah, we've said a lot. This all started. I think Derek Bros is in here commenting. Derek, maybe you can share with us why the Facebook here got taken down. I tried to go live on Facebook for Conscious Resistance, and it said that we are in trouble. Failed to post to Facebook. Here's what Facebook said. You recently posted something that violates Facebook policies. Let me see if I can show you guys what it's like here. Hold on. Stop screen share. This is what, when we go live, this is what we are using. And so I just want to show you here. This will be kind of trippy because it's showing the same thing over. But look, this is the warning we got from Facebook. Failed to post to Facebook. Here's what Facebook said. You recently posted something that violates Facebook policy, so you're temporarily blocked from using this feature. For more information, visit the Help Center to keep from getting blocked again. Please make sure you've read and understand Facebook's community standards. The block will be active for 4 days and one more hour. So that shows me that old Derek Bros got in trouble because he's a bad, bad boy. This is what our platform, this is what Derek Bros uses too. It's called StreamYard. It allows us to see your comments here. We You can put your comments up on the screen. This is pretty cool. So thanks everyone for supporting. Thanks everyone for tuning in. Look, Derek Brez didn't even know. Holy shit, I didn't even know that. Yeah, somebody was saying, Derek, that that you were doing premiering something live and it got cut off right there in the inside. So that is just all the more reason for you guys to go to theconsciousresistance.com, theconsciousresistance.com, and join and follow on BitChute, library.tv, minds.com, and all the other channels, all the other alternatives, because it is just a matter of time. It's inevitable that, unfortunately, this channel could get pulled, will likely get pulled from YouTube. This channel will likely get pulled from Facebook. We are sharing some pretty radical stuff that the censors and big tech don't appreciate. So yeah, so I want to thank everyone for your comments. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure you share this. Be sure you subscribe. If you like my flow and what I got going, check me out at livefreenow.show. Each and every one of these videos gets converted to a podcast. You can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Podcasts. Share it with your friends. Again, that's livefreenow.show. We also have an email newsletter. I'd love for you to join that so we can keep in touch with you. I also encourage you to check out Derek Brose's email newsletter on the Conscious Resistance and text that he has there, because if these channels get taken down, we definitely want to have a way to stay in touch with you. So again, today I was sharing about our trip to the Austin Greenbelt Freeside, where we went for a swim without a mask, and a lot of people completely lost their minds about it and like freaked out and said, they hope I get COVID, and they hope that if I get sick, I don't go to the hospital and we're going to die and we're going to create this big spike of the virus. Meanwhile, here in Austin, they just lowered the little threshold from stage 4 to stage 3, which they should have already done. Oh, and they said in Austin that the cases hadn't plateaued. Actually, they actually were dropped because they had their own miscalculation of numbers, thinking that we just plateaued out. But really, it's been on a pretty steep decline. So thankfully, I believe we are on the other side of this thing. There's a pattern that you see whenever the virus peaks out, as far as the curve goes with cases and deaths, the virus reaches a peak and then it peters out over the next 6 to 8 weeks. That's what it does, whether there's a lockdown in place. That's what it does, whether there's a mask mandate in place. That's just what it does. It works its way through the community and it kind of fizzles out and burns out. Maybe it'll come back in other waves. I don't know. But as I said at the beginning of this, different people, different human beings have different values. I myself, chances are, if you're watching this video, or if you follow the Conscious Resistance, you value freedom highly as one of the highest ideals. There's other human beings that value safety and security. We saw this same divergence, this same dichotomy, this same problem after 9/11, false flag terror attack, when the media came and started hyping up the terror threat. And they had that Department of Homeland Security little terror threat levels that they would change, right? And everyone's freaked out. And people were like, well, I value freedom and liberty over security, so I don't support the Patriot Act. I don't support the creation of the Department of Homeland Security. I don't support all this NSA spying stuff. But other people were like, we need the FISA courts to be able to do something quicker and faster. We need to be able to have indefinite detention of American citizens in Navy brigs. That's the same thing that's happening now. Everyone's all afraid. Instead of terrorists, they're afraid of this virus, and people are willing to give up liberty for security. That's not me. The big question is, how do we overcome that tension? I would encourage you not to be a total jerk and like name call and hate on people. You know, a lot of people out there are good people. They're probably members of your family, your friends, or whatever that are freaked out about the virus. I have family members that are way more concerned and freaked out than I am about it. I try to honor that and respect them. But at the same time, a lot of people are realizing, like, you know, is this a life that we want to live, where we're sheltered in all the time, where we're constantly scared, where we can't go visit our grandchildren or our grandparents for a 0.6% mortality rate, infection fatality rate? Is that the life you want to live? And so people take that on an individual basis. They take that risk assessment. Some people have a higher risk aversion than other people. For example, whenever I started having kids, I had 2 kids. I was like, I'm not going to go get in cops' faces like I used to with the camera. I got arrested twice. One of them was shortly after I had my first kid. I was like, nah, I got to shift up my tactics to entrepreneurship and building stuff, right? It's the same thing. Like some people are like, I'm totally freaked out. I got this family member or I have this pre-existing condition. So I'm not willing to take the risk of going outside. Other people on the other extreme are like, the virus is pretty not as bad as what people said it was. Some people think it's total bullshit. Some people are like, I'm a healthy guy. My family's healthy. We don't vaccinate. We eat healthy, organic. We take a multivitamin all day, every day. I'm taking the Q-certain and the zinc and the vitamin D. I'm not concerned about it. So I'm going to go out to the damn arcade or to the freaking watering hole. Me and my kids went to an arcade the other day and we went bowling and we went and played laser tag. We were all touching and grubbing on the joysticks and the handles and the laser tag stuff and the bowling balls. I'm sure the company did a great job of disinfecting everything, but at the end of the day, there's probably germs there, but we're okay. You know what I'm saying? Knock on wood. We're okay because we have strong and healthy immune systems. That's where our values lie. Natural health, freedom. Other people have different values, fear and security. I'd like for more people to come over to the Freedom Camp and join us over here. It's very liberating. And life, we're never going to have a risk-free life. I wouldn't even want a risk-free life. That would be a boring, bland, controlled environment. We need adventure in life. We need change. We need risk. We can't experience the bliss and joy in life without a little bit of hardship too, you know? So you got to make that choice on your own. Chances are if you're watching this video, you're leaning on the freedom side. If you're on the fence, I encourage you to consider freedom. Take the precautions you find necessary. But don't try to string us up because we want to go to the damn watering hole and swim without a freaking mask in the 95-degree weather. Give me a break. All right, this is John Bush. Peace and freedom. Thanks for tuning in. I encourage you to check out livefreenow.show. Livefreenow.show. Thanks for tuning in. I'm out. Ending this live broadcast. Let's go.